I've been speaking on promises. Several of you have been asking me how that book on promises is coming. I've turned the first draft over to the press already. I haven't heard back from them. But at any rate, they have 366 pages of promises that they can work with now. That's by no means all the promises in Scripture. It's just hundreds and hundreds of promises all through God's Word. And so I've chosen to speak today on promises, both morning and evening, but in different directions. This morning, I'm drawing it from the book of Hebrews. If you will turn in Hebrews chapter 6, we'll start reading at verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now that is the theme for this morning, inheriting the promises. God has given a multitude of promises in his Bible because he wants us to rise in faith and seek his promises. Seek the fulfillment of those promises in our own lives, our own circumstances. I'm afraid many times believers fall into the trap of thinking, well, these promises were made to David and they were made to other people, you know, and we're just kind of getting them all secondhand. No, you are not. This book was inspired by God the Holy Spirit. This book is timeless in its qualities. And when you read the promises of God, you should not put such a lengthy distance between yourself and the fulfillment of those promises. Yes, I know there are specific promises to specific people with temporal circumstances. But there are promises that are enduring forever. The writer of the Hebrews is thinking of these promises. You'll inherit the promises, not just promises that belong to King David, are promises that belong to the apostles. They're promises that God makes to us. And he proceeds to fill the latter part of his epistle here with promises that are absolutely soul-stirring. Will you turn to chapter 7 of Hebrews and drop down to verse 25. What promises may we expect to inherit? Well, listen to verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's not a time-bound promise. It was not directed to an ancient person. It's recorded in Scripture because this is God's promise to you. And we must be quick to pick up on this. And to realize that what the writer of the Hebrews is saying here is a promise that God intends us to absorb and to base our lives and practice upon. And so, let's look at this. He is able to save them to the uttermost. Who is able? God is able. His hands are not bound. He is not limited in his abilities. God is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. By whom? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ is at the right hand of his Father, interceding in behalf of his people. That means you. He is praying for you, that you might have the testimony you should have, that you might accomplish the fullness of his will. And so he ever lives to make intercession for us. Should we be hesitant about claiming his promises? Should we hang back and think that, well, perhaps it just doesn't fit me? No, that's the voice of unbelief. That is skepticism. We must come to these promises with faith, trusting that God has put them here in his holy word so that all of us may look upon these promises and may trust in Him to fulfill them for us, to accomplish in our lives exactly what He intends for each one of us. We must learn how to live absorbing God's Word, drawing from the text of Scripture the strength and the help that we need day by day. And one way of doing that is to claim these promises. Now, this personage, verse 26, is an high priest who became us. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Yes, the Lord Jesus is an infinitely powerful high priest, one who, when he prays, expects to see the answer from his Father. There is no doubt or skepticism in his mind whatsoever. He is our high priest praying for us. Why should we shrink back and think that somehow we are going to fall through a trapdoor somewhere? Somehow we will miss out on the fulfillment of the promises. No, the Lord doesn't treat his people that way. Remember, he is the good shepherd. He is caring for every sheep. He is seeing to it that each one finds that strength and help and grace that he needs day by day. So let's claim these promises. Let's come boldly before the throne of grace. We have such a high priest as in the ancient world they could not dream of. But thank God, he is different. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now this tells us, this is not for ancient people. He's not talking to the Jews in an old dispensation. He's talking about the present dispensation. We have such a high priest who is there in the presence of the throne in heaven, the throne that rules the universe, and he is interceding for his people. He is interceding for you. This is what we must all grasp in our hearts and minds. Now, we are not orphans. We're not abandoned somewhere in this world. Now, we are children of the King. He is praying for us. Is his prayer going to be ignored? It cannot be. He always prays according to the perfect will of his Father. He is interceding on our behalf. What courage that should put within our hearts. What confidence that should put within us as we seek to serve him here. As we face difficulties and trials, we never face them alone. We face them in full view of our high priest who is watching our pathway, guiding our steps and praying for us each step of the way. Now, friends, we must have that in our minds, in our thinking processes. We tend to act like we're forsaken orphans. We're just stumbling along through this pathway. And that is not true. We must learn how to focus our attention upon these promises that are in Scripture, that we may walk with a confident and bold step. That's not presumption. It is trust in his keeping power. Trust in his ability to accomplish in us all that he has promised for us. And we must walk with serene faith that he will keep his promises. Now, he ever lives to make intercession for his people. He endured death in this world to accomplish an atonement for us. But he conquered death. Now it can never touch him again. He is the victor over the grave. He ever lives. There can be nothing that can in any way separate the Lord Jesus from his intercessory ministry for us. He ever lives on our behalf. Now, friends, that must be something that puts courage and strength into our hearts. It doesn't matter what our tasks may be. It doesn't matter where our pathway leads us. If we are working according to his word, following his leading, we have a great high priest who is constantly interceding in behalf of us. We must claim that promise. We must see to it that our lives are based on such a promise, that He will provide. He will take care of us. He will see to it that His promise is fulfilled. We need that confidence in Him. In verse 6, "Now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, established upon better promises." Yes, in the old dispensation, there were many promises. The Psalms and other passages are filled with the promises of God. But we have better promises now. All this multitude of promises in the New Testament that the Old Testament believers never dreamt of. But we are heir to both Testaments, and we can draw upon these promises and claim them because He is our great high priest. And all the promises will be fulfilled in Him. Now, in chapter 9 of Hebrews, dropping down to verse 28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now, there is an odd arrangement in that verse in the King James. There's a phrase that is switched around. The Greek text has it one way. The King James has moved that phrase. And I think that has created a little confusion in what is involved here. The order that it really says in verse 28, "Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him unto salvation shall He appear the second time without sin." That last phrase, "unto salvation," was somehow relegated to the end of the verse. You kind of lose track of that connection. To those who look for Him unto salvation shall He appear. He's not going to appear for everyone. There are people in this world that don't want to see Him. There are people in this world that do not care about the promises in Scripture. They're going their own way, ignorant of these promises and spurning the grace of God. But for those people who look for Him unto salvation, to those who are trusting Him for their salvation, the promise is very solemn. He shall appear the second time. He conquered sin, and that sinless perfection is going to be the lot of His people when He appears. We shall be perfect before Him. We shall be transformed by His grace. And that promise is limited strictly to God's saints. It is not a promise given indiscriminately to the world, but it's for those who look for Him unto salvation. He promises absolute perfection, joy, celebration in His presence, for He comes for them to exalt them into His realm and give them that charge of eternal ministry, that they will serve with Him forever and ever. What a marvelous promise that He has given us. It's significant in verse 26 before that, that He has said that now, in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Yes, the ages have been past. There's been many that had hoped for the atonement, but He accomplished that upon Calvary. And now that's an accomplished fact. Now everything is in place. There is nothing lacking, and He is waiting for the right time to return and accomplish His purpose in this world. In chapter 10, dropping down to verse 16, there's another promise. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now, this is a gracious and precious promise that God's people can base their conduct upon. He promises here that what is going to happen in the new dispensation is something very different from what was in the old. In the old dispensation, God's word was inscribed upon tablets that were put in the ark, inscribed upon parchment that few people could have. But now, the promises are published everywhere. They're printed. Everybody can have a copy of the promises. They're all over the place. That is not an accident. That is God's providential blessing to his people. He has deliberately made his promises known and available to everyone all the time, which is one of the reasons why we need to keep searching the scriptures, to keep calling to our minds those precious promises that he has made for us. And they're with us now, all the time. And that gracious gift is being gradually inscribed into our hearts. As we repeat the promises, as we read them again, as we meditate upon them, we're hiding them in our hearts. And the promises should be there. That's where they belong. God's word is not something that should be external, some place that we have to go to find it. No, it ought to be in us all the time, or before us on the printed page, somewhere where we can reach these promises so that they're at hand. And we can claim the promises and order our lives in keeping with the promises and walk in faith, trusting the promises of God. This is something we need to think about and orient our life toward, because God's holy word is intended to be the foundation of our life, the strength of our heart, the energizer of our service. And that comes about when we understand the promises and claim them for ourselves and begin to act in accordance with those promises. It's important for us to understand that. In verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We need boldness, my friends, in dealing with these promises. We need the boldness of true faith, trusting in him, claiming these promises, that they may be at work in our hearts, at work in our lives, molding our character and our practice day by day. And the promises can do that. In chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Ah, yes, the writer to the Hebrews exhorts the readers now. Let us hold fast this confession of our faith. This profession is actually that word confession, to confess the Lord before men, to admit to others that we are believers, we are Christians, we are Bible-believing Christians. That confession is something they need to hear, because the world doesn't confess that. The world is ashamed of Scripture. When it's put on public property, they feel obliged to get rid of it somehow. They don't want it reminding them of their solemn responsibilities. And as Christians, we need to be bold in ordering our lives according to these promises, in being courageous enough to confess that we believe these promises and are basing our lives upon them. And that, in fact, was precisely the foundation of our very nation. All the founders of our nation were not Christian believers, but they all had a reverence for Scripture, and they confessed in public that they were founding the Republic upon the Word of God. It was their faith that what they were doing was in keeping with God's holy Word. Now, friends, our country has come a long way downward from that firm faith in God's holy Word. And it has hurt our country immensely. And you all know that the direction that we see in our land today is certainly downward, not upward. And the violence and the sin and the sensuality that is permeating our modern society is a direct result of failing to pay attention to the Word of God. There's always a price to pay when people ignore God's holy Word. Well, we as believers must make sure we don't make that mistake. We must keep the Word open before us. We must keep drawing upon the promises of God's holy Word. Keep living the promises, acting upon them, because by faith we trust Him to keep every last promise. He will. In verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Yes, we ought to stir up one another to love and good works. The fellowship of the saints has that effect. When we gather together for fellowships, for services, it is an encouragement to all the people present when they see God's people singing the praises of the Lord, listening to the holy word of God, ordering their lives in keeping with the revelation that they have heard. This is a strength for all of God's people. That's why we keep coming to church. That's why we keep coming to prayer meeting. It helps, it strengthens, it makes us what we ought to be. And so, let's consider this, that part of our ministry is encouraging one another. On the one hand, by trusting in the promises ourselves and basing our conduct and our testimony upon this holy book. It strengthens others to see that. It encourages others to step forward by faith and to claim the promises for themselves. We all need that encouragement of the faith. And in our congregation, how blessed it is to worship God in a group that takes the Word of God as His inspired, infallible Word, that acts upon it, that attempts to live by it. It strengthens all that are in the group. This is what we must be doing constantly in our own hearts and for the blessing of others, to base everything upon the holy promises of God. In verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So this tells us there's promises connected with God's holy day. In assembling together to worship God, we are telling everyone that we take His word very seriously. And we show up here because Christ rose from the dead on this day. It was a Sunday, and consequently we come together on that day because He lives, and His victorious life, conquering death and the grave, this is what we are basing everything upon. And so by our very presence here, we're confessing our faith in Him, our trust in His ability to conquer our foes and make us victors through His sacrifice. In chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now here's another promise in that. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That means that God is watching every one of us for our response to these promises, our response to the revelation that He has given in Scripture. And He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. My friends, I'm afraid we give Him occasion for not rewarding us. Sometimes we treat His word with skepticism. We doubt that this promise is going to be fulfilled for us. We get the idea perhaps He has just forgotten about us. That is never true. In our better moments, we know that, but it's theoretical knowledge. What about the current problems we face? What about the trials that we're in now? Right? Remember, that's the same situation. We've got to trust Him to keep His promises in the present situation, to depend upon Him to uphold us as He has said He would. So it doesn't matter what trials we face. It doesn't matter what things that may be harassing us at the present time. What matters is that we concentrate our faith upon Him and His holy word and recognize that, yes, He will keep His promise. Yes, He always has. Yes, He always will. And all of a sudden, the adversaries are not that formidable. The trials are not that terrible. All of a sudden, we recognize that God does exactly what He says. And He is not going to change. He is not going to somehow forget His promises. He shall keep them to us also. Friends, we need that assurance of faith in His holy word, that confidence in His promises. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. Just because the situation presently looks good does not mean that it is. What it means is that God always keeps His promises, and we don't walk by sight, but by faith. In verse 10 of chapter 11, the writer refers to Abraham, that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, friends, we're in the same category. We have not seen that blessed city. We have not been able to gaze upon that promise directly. But Abraham had that promise, and he walked faithfully his pathway. He believed in the promises of God. And that is our task now. He looked for that blessed city. We are looking for that blessed city. We're still traveling toward that promise of that place that He is preparing for His people. And we must be certain in our pathway. We must be confident that, yes, He will bring us there in His own good time and by His own pathway. And we must be as sure as Abraham that we are traveling to that city. He's prepared a place for us. We, too, must look for that city by the grace of God. In chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the originator of our faith. The fact that He died upon the cross for us, when we trust Him for that, when we base our eternal salvation upon that, there is the beginning of the faith for us. The trust in the Lord Jesus is the first step. But He is also the consummator. He is going to bring our faith to a complete and perfect consummation, showing us a fulfillment of every last promise. He will leave nothing out. He will forget nothing. He is going to accomplish all His will for every one of His people. And we must recognize that He intends that. We need confidence in our walk, serene trust in the pathway that He is leading us in. He knows precisely what He is doing, and we must be sure of that in our hearts. My friends, many times we worry, and that is never justified. We look at circumstances and we forget who has arranged those circumstances. We must never forget that. Circumstances are not formidable when you trust in the one who is arranging the circumstances. His pathway is always right. His pathway always leads home for the believer. And because of that, we can walk the pathway with serene confidence. And we must learn to do that every step of the way. No matter how formidable the circumstances may look, none of them are serious, because He is guiding our steps and we are walking in His pathway. We must always be aware of that. Never give that up. In chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, friends, this is a promise that all of us must apply to our own hearts. We tend to get covetous about certain things. We look at things in this realm and we think, oh, it would be nice to have this or that or the other. And we forget that God is bringing into our life everything we need. And that if this thing that we're concerned about is His will, we'll get that too. We don't have to worry about it. And if it isn't, He will wisely keep it from us. And that relieves us from so much strain and worry. When you want something that is not God's will for you to have and get upset about it, then your relationship with the Lord is poisoned. Then your trust in His word fails. And we must recognize providentially that God is guiding our steps, taking us down a pathway according to His perfect will, and we will get every last thing that He intends. He's not going to somehow forget us. He's not going to somehow neglect one of His children. He's going to see to it that we will have everything that He wills. And if there's something that we don't get, automatically we must say, well, it would not have been good for me. Now, that's an act of faith, friends. There are many times we look at things and, you know, it's with regret that we don't have them. This would be much nicer. This would be more pleasant. We must recognize He knows best, and He knows everything that we should have. And He'll see to it that we do get everything we should have. And we can leave that choice in His hands. We don't have to fight and struggle and strain to accomplish that. Just simply walk faithfully the pathway before us, and He will see to it that everything we are supposed to have, we'll have. And when we come to the end of the pathway, there will not be a solitary thing that could have helped us any better than what He arranged. That's faith, my friends. And we must recognize this is what we're doing. We're walking by faith. And that serene trust in His promises is absolutely essential. This, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that is the supreme promise in all of Scripture. It doesn't matter where your steps lead. It doesn't matter what difficulties you may face. It doesn't matter what kind of enemies you have. None of these things matter. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's everything, my friends. You never stand alone. You are never outnumbered. You are never in a difficult situation for Him. He always is there. My friends, that is trust in the living God. That is walking by faith. And this is what every one of us must seek to accomplish in our lives. We can't see the pathway. We don't see how our lives will end. But He does. He knows every last step. And we can walk our pathway with that serene confidence that He is with us, that He is guiding us, that every step He is planning. And as long as we choose according to His word and walk in humble submission, expecting His promises to be fulfilled, they will always be fulfilled. And He will always be present to help and to strengthen us and to bless a pathway that He ordains. That is walking by faith. My friends, inherit the promises. They're all for you. They're all there waiting for you to claim. You can walk with serene confidence. God keeps His promises. Every last one. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank Thee for this blessed book, filled with such comforting promises to Thy people. How gracious Thou art. We thank Thee, Lord, for those promises. We thank Thee for Thy presence here with us, for Thy presence with us always. We thank Thee for caring for us and guiding our pathways and directing them so that we will come to Thee. And we ask Thy blessing upon every step of the way. Help all of us, Lord, to walk by faith, counting on Thee to keep Thy promises and to bring us safely to Thyself. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.